Turn your Bible with me to chapter 16 of Proverbs, and we will start. All morning, instructor of the police academy has been giving them instruction about the leadership. At the almost end of the class, instructor called a recruit and handed him a piece of paper on which was written, "You are in charge. Get everyone out of the classroom fast without causing panic." The recruit who was pulled out in front of the class, he looked at it. He was lost at word, and he was dismissed. And second man sermoned, and he stood in front of class, and he looked at it. Okay, he looked at the class and said, "Okay, everybody get out now." And nobody moved. Everybody looked at him like, "Where are you from? What you been smoking?" That look. And third guy, he looked at the piece of paper. He smiled. He said, "Okay, lunch break. Everybody got out." See, this leader knew what the follower needed. That's not the way the leaders have to do all the time. Just meeting the follower's need, that's not the right way to do it. Field Marshal Bernard L. Montgomery, during World War II, defined the leadership in this way. That's the guy. "Leadership is the capacity and the will to rally man and woman to common purpose and the character which inspire confidence." Good words, isn't it? He then enunciated the seven ingredients necessary in a leader in a war, which, in my opinion, coincide and appropriate to the spiritual warfare. So I wrote it down for you here. A leader should be able to sit back and avoid getting immersed in details. Do you have a boss who look over your shoulder and constantly be on you? Don't nod your head too fast. And the leader must not be petty. Leader must not be pompous. Leader must be a good picker of men. And leader should trust those under him and let them get on with their job without interference. Number 6, leader must have the power of a clear decision. Number 7, leader should inspire confidence. Good coach in the second half, when their team is running behind, they can rally up their troops and bring the game to the victory. Being a leader sounds nice if you're looking for self-gratification and respect from others. But in truth, being a leader comes with a more responsibilities than privileges. You agree? Yeah. There's far more responsibility than the privileges. People don't know that. This morning, we are going to look at the several aspects of leadership from the book of Proverbs. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we received this morning. Though we don't understand everything, but we believe that the Holy Spirit will show right way to walk with you. We thank you for his illuminating ministry, and it is our privilege to study your word. We may learn from you today the leadership that the world desperately needs. Teach us. And we're asking you to give that leadership to the President Obama, and then foremostly that he may come to know Jesus. And we pray for our troops who are in harm's way, especially in Afghanistan and in Iraq, wherever they are, away from their families, away from their homes. We're asking you, are you willing to protect them and bring them back to home safe and sound? We also pray for the uniformed personnel, Border Patrol agents, and sheriff deputies and police officers and as well as the firefighters around this community. We are asking you to put your ministering angels and protective angels around them. Keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The two things that we are going to look at is what the leader must have, what the leaders must have. And I will give you the several different aspects. And then the second part, we will look at this, what the leaders must not have before the conclusion. Starting with the calling. This is the calling that all the leaders must have. There are some people who are natural-born leaders. And there are some people who are a bunch of wannabes. At the same time, people who absolutely don't care to be leaders, they are totally happy being followers. You may say, well, I'm not a leader. I don't want to be a leader. Well, that's fine. But if you are parents, I mean, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, guess what? You are the leaders of the family. And if you are born-again Christian, you are the leader. You are the leaders to the non-believers, to lead them to the Christ with your example, with your life. You can pinpoint, you can show them the Bible verses all you want, but if your life does not back it up, you are not leading them to the right direction. It just gives them more fuel to talk about how Christianity is nothing but a hypocrisy. Majority of people in the world get married and have children become a foster parents or the adopted parents. They are parents or foster parents or adopted parents. Recently, we took the two foreign exchange students from the USA, correct? In USA. And my wife and I took this delightful two young people. Urosh is from Serbia. He's 6'2", 6'4". Somewhere around there, he's up there. His head is in the cloud. And we have a Becky from Germany. As I said, they are bright and young, delightful young people. We are enjoying them, having them around. It's just kind of, we haven't had a teenager for a long time. It's like, now what do we do? It's kind of learning all over again. Not only that, the Urosh eat my refrigerator off every 2 days. You got to see my food bills. You as a born-again Christian parents have a privilege and obligation to introduce your children to our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. As I have said before, your children hear not only the tone of your voice as well, but also the terms of your words. They read your looks as well as their books. They figure out motives, even those who you think you can hide them well. They are not fooled by and not in the long haul. Let me show you the art of leadership. Here's the board, just simple board. Here's the code. If I pull this, it can go wherever I drag. You with me on that? But if I simply push this, guess what? It doesn't go the way I want. Majority of the time, see, I push this way, it goes this way. Lead by definition, leadership means you're leading people. You're pulling people to the direction you want them to go. You don't tell them to just push and push and push them. A lot of people think that leadership is pushing and commanding them. You have to lead them with your example. You with me? At your workplace, and you are the only Bible, as I said before, you're the only Bible unbelievers will read. They're not going to pick up the Bible and start, oh, okay, John 3:16 or John 14:6 or Romans 6:23. They're going to watch you. They are not overly concerned about what you do, how you walk, or how you work in that place. But they will watch you and how you react in the times of difficulties. And if you're a construction worker, you just bang your thumb with that sledgehammer and everybody look at you. Oh, what kind of words are you going to say? If you say, ouch, that hurt, and they're going to say, that's all you're going to say? Aren't you going to say, blankety, blankety, blankety? That's what they expect. Your lives have to back it up. Your actions should speak in a volume so loud and so much clearer than what you would say about your faith in words. Second element the leader should have is integrity. Integrity. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 10, please. Proverbs 16, verse 10. If you have a King James Version, this word is incorrectly translated. Divination is on the lips of the king. Let me quote it from the New Living Translation. It's much better because the divination has a concept of an occultic concept. So I would put that the king speak with divine wisdom. That's a New Living Translation. That's much better translation. Not this one yet. His mouth, let's go back to the word. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and the scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. Verse 12, it is abomination for king to commit wickedness, and the throne is established by the righteousness. Righteous lips are delight of the kings, and they love him who speak what is right. As messenger of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. I must tell you that I have been troubled with regarding the things happening in our country as well as in the family of God. My major concern is one word and one concept, integrity. The leadership, the integrity of the leadership in this country, in our nation, in our church, seems like it's falling away from doing right things. And breakdown is happening and compromise is happening in integrity. Remember the housing market boom during the year 2000, 2005? You cannot buy a house even if you have a decent amount of money, because housing market just went sky high. And how that happened? It was purely built on the foundation devoid of integrity. The CEOs pretty much concoct the housing market the way they want it so they can get money, make money out of that. From 2006 and now, it's a buyer's market. The real price is showing up. And the amount you pay for each house, now you all of a sudden, a lot of people upside down, and that's the reason why we have so much foreclosures happening. So who made money? Greedy people, greedy, selfish leaders. The leaders without integrity, those people are making money. All to happen fine in the moral laxity behind the pews as well, even behind the pulpit. Most unfortunate to see that kind of thing. But it's happening, penetrating, the lack of integrity is penetrating even the body of Jesus Christ. Let me define the integrity here. Webster's dictionary tells us integrity means unimpaired condition. It means to be sound. Be sound. Hebrew word for the integrity is a tom, T-O-M. And also mean to be complete and solid. Let's go to Psalm 78, please. Psalm 78. If you're wondering what's that, all that sound and the drilling sound in the back, because the moisture, the door, back door is kind of swollen up, and we are fixing it. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. So it is never enough to be efficient and talented and capable. as a leader. Leader must have a character first and foremost. Remember during the Clinton administration, a lot of people voting back in the second term because what is their excuse was? Because economy is good. And some people ask them, what about character? And they said, so? To them, character didn't matter. Character matters, folks, especially for the leaders. We must maintain our integrity if we are to lead successfully. Integrity means, listen, this is a good one. I want you to memorize it. Integrity means absence of duplicity and the opposite of a hypocrisy. You with me? It's the absence of duplicity and the opposite of a hypocrisy. If you are a person of integrity, you will do what you say and what you declare, you will do your best to be, whether anybody is watching or not. Do you know what the true character, your true character is? What you do behind closed doors when nobody's watching. If you follow whether your coworker or your employee or even your simply family members don't know how truthful you are, they are not going to follow your command or advices. Their obedience is nothing more than pretty much coasting and going along with your command. Third thing that the leaders should have is love. John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10, verse 11. Of course, this is what Jesus is speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. Wolves catches the sheep and scatter them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. A leader must deeply care and love his or her people. Leader without love for his people, if that person does not care for his followers, it will be revealed to them, that to the followers, one way or another. A family or group that lacks loyalty is like a wet sand. While it's wet, they will stay together. But once it gets dried up and the wind blows, guess what? It disintegrates and scatters all over. Proverbs chapter 20, please. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. How does he uphold his throne? Loving kindness. If the leader doesn't care about the followers, there won't be anything. Eventually, people will leave. Please note that this important point. That it is absolutely impossible to be loved by everybody, all your followers. In perfect setting, Garden of Eden, God had everything for two people, only two people, Adam and Eve. He couldn't even please them because they had their own choice. Jesus chose 12 disciples. How would you like to listen to Jesus' teaching day in, day out for 3 years? Wouldn't you like that? But there was one guy who thought about himself more than Jesus. You cannot be loved by everybody. So don't even try to please everybody. You'll never be a good leader. If you have a three children, they will have all different mindset, and you know that. You cannot please your children. Don't even try that, and you cannot be friend of your children. You are mom and dad. You are not their friends. Your job is being a mom and dad. You will always find someone who has beef with you. Remember that you are a leader. Lead them with love. But if they choose not to follow your leadership, it is not your fault. They make their own minds. You still need to treat them with love, but as the Lord Jesus loved us while we are still sinners. Fourth thing I find as an aspect, two aspects of the good leader is wisdom and righteousness. Wisdom and righteousness. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 16. Chapter 28, verse 16. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. A leader without wisdom is anything but good. Without wisdom, leader cannot be righteous. So let's go to chapter 11 of Proverbs. Chapter 11, Proverbs. And verse 10. I'm going to rapidly go over the three verses in Proverbs, so follow with me, please. Verse 10 of chapter 11, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, it is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Chapter 14, verse 34. 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Chapter 16, verse 12. It is abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Folks, Leaders should have a goal. It is very important. If the leader does not have a goal, it will be nothing more than a group of wandering people. But it must be within the guideline of the Lord's will. Because without the Lord's guidance, one man's goal is another man's fantasy and some other person's apathy. Got that? One person's goal without God is another man's fantasy and somebody else's apathy. Fifth aspect that a leader should have, impartiality. Impartiality. Proverbs chapter 24. Am I going too fast? 24:23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, "You are righteous," him the people will curse. Nation will abhor him. Verse 25, but those who rebuke the wicked will have a delight, and the good blessing will come upon them. Chapter 29, verse 14, please. 29:14. The king who judges poor with the truth, his throne will be established forever. When a leader does not have a wisdom, folks, when a leader does not have a wisdom, he cannot have a righteousness. And he would be partial to whomever he gets the most benefits from. Nowadays, seems like a judiciary system is a very partial. They stick their finger, wet finger in the air, and they'll see how the wind blows, and they will judge, even overriding constitution. This can be especially damaging, this kind of if you have a partiality, this can be damaging within the family dynamics. How many family relationships have been ruined because mom or dad, or mom and dad together, being partial, favoring of one particular child within the siblings? Bible has an example of that too. If I named it, it's Jacob and Esau. Two babies were born at the same time as I wouldn't call them the twin brothers. One was Harry. He was Darwin's theory that he would be missing link between human and ape, covered with all the red hair. And another kid coming out with a heel catcher and a supplanter, and Jacob. From the beginning, from their birth, there was struggle within the mother's womb. And when the mama had bore both of them, guess what? And the older one grew up to be the man's man. He watched Outdoor Channel all the time, and he ran out the door with a hunting rifle and riding ATV all over the wilderness. And the other kid, his favorite channel is Food Channel, and watching Martha Stewart day in, day out, and wearing the mama's apron all the time. However, Bible says Jacob was a complete man because he was spiritual, while Esau was despising his spiritual heritage. Even though he was the firstborn, he despised it. And God selected Jacob. In the meanwhile, father Isaac favored Esau. Mama was partial to Jacob. Guess what kinds of family they had? Split family. Moms and dads, don't be partial to your children. Grandpa and grandma, don't be partial to your kids and grandkids. It's hard to like somebody who constantly give you a hard time. And pretty much you can see the horn coming out from each side of their hair. And there's another one who's sitting in the corner. He's polishing his halo because he's doing all the things right. It's easy for us to love that child and despise the other one. But after all, they are your children. Do I hear somebody's cell phone? We have an opening for the worship leader position. Anyone want to apply? Second thing we must know about leaders, what the leaders should not have. What leaders should not have. Number one, covetousness and greed. Covetousness and greed. Without the Holy Spirit to restrain all of us, note that, without the Holy Spirit to restrain all of us, would be covetous and this constant dissatisfaction in our heart because our natural covetousness and greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 said, let's go there. We memorize this, but just in case you don't know. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with the contentment is great gain. Note there were two important words, elements there. Godliness with a contentment. Not just one. Godliness with a contentment is a great gain. Unless we control our covetousness and greed, it is like a pouring water into the bottomless pot. When a leader is discontent, no one can have a peace. Contentment is resting. That doesn't mean you're just slipping in day in, day out. Contentment is resting in the Lord, which means you trust in God and be thankful to Him for everything happening in your world. Second thing that a leader should not have is compromise. Compromise. Proverbs chapter 25, please. Back to Proverbs 25, 26. Everybody should remember this one. If the godly compromise with wicked, it is like a polluting a fountain and mudding a spring. Living for boastful, the life of compromise is a dangerous thing, folks. Just take a look at the life of Lot. Remember him? The nephew of Abraham. He is a classic compromiser. Granted that he was a believer, but he made numerous mistakes. When he was told by Abraham, take the side. Whichever direction you go, I will take the other side. I'll go to the opposite. So he cast longing eyes to the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was green pasture for his sheep, for his thing. He didn't ask God, which side should I take? You know, when I talk to the people, some people say, well, I'm going to take this job. I'm going to move to there. And the first thing I ask, is that what God wants? No. Is that what God wants? No. Then should you take? I heard a story. A lady been conned by the con man. Because this company came out and then it made this big, nice pitch, sales pitch, and she bought for it. And then after she realized she'd been conned, she went to Better Business Bureau to report that company. And Better Business Bureau, the person asked, why didn't you come to us before you made the decision to buy their product, buy their sales pitch? And she said, I know that you would say no. How dumb are you? You know what? A lot of people, a lot of Christians know that in their heart, God will say no to this, but I'm going to do it anyway. How do you spell their name? Duh, D-U-H. Many people do that kind of thing. Because they choose to compromise. Just like Lot. Lot lived in the wicked city of Sodom and eventually became the leader in the city. But he was so bound up in the sin that when he went to tell his sons-in-law that the judgment of God was coming, they laughed. They thought he was doing stand-up comic. There was no power in his witness because he lived in a compromised life. So let me ask you this. You don't have to raise. I prefer you not raise your hand. Is this happening to you? Is this happening to you? Are you getting weaker and weaker spiritually? The things used to brush you, make you the brush, nowadays it doesn't matter to you. How about this? Do you find yourself become more and more tolerant of that which is evil and the less interested in that which is spiritual? You find the reason and excuse why you cannot pray, or you find the reason why you don't have the time for the Word of God, or you find the reason why you cannot go to church. Well, we have a football game. A wind is really strong. My truck might be blown away. Really. It's raining. I'm so sweet. I might melt. Right. Except CJ. Such is a peril of a compromiser. Such is a peril of a compromiser. Compromisers do not pull others up. Others pull them down. Ask yourself, am I a compromiser? Am I heading for backsliding? Do you think a backslider says, wake up in the morning, oh yeah, it's a good day to backslide? No. It starts with the erosion. Very gradually. you start to compromise one thing, and next thing will be a lot easier and a lot easier, a lot easier. Pretty soon, you are so far away from God, you say, how did I end up here? Don't think that it's not going to happen to you. It happened to the many godly people, many godly leaders. Nowadays, it happened more and more in the body of Jesus Christ, the church. In an attempt to cross over to non-believers, guess what? Many pastors and Bible teachers do. They leave the cross behind. They don't talk about Jesus. Oh, yeah, they talk about Jesus Christ, how wonderful he is, how loving he is, how merciful he is, how forgiving he is, but yet they leave all the righteousness, holiness of God and the sin of man. If we mix gospel with the world, it's like mixing ice cream with the fertilizer. Fertilizer, fine. You just ruined the perfectly good ice cream. I know my wife is thinking, why did you make the example like that? Let's make a three applications. Number one, I'm getting this out of from the Bible verse. Fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. You fear God. I'm not talking about being afraid of God. I'm talking about you don't want to hurt his heart because you love him. You don't want to do anything against him. Then you will do well. Number two, imitate the servant leader Jesus. Imitate the servant leader Jesus. What did he do? He was completely obedient to the Father. He brought glory to the Father in heaven. Number three, take this into your heart, please. Being a leader comes with more responsibility than privileges. Let's stand up and pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. The truth sometimes a little uncomfortable for us because it's hit a little too close to home. Let our heart run to you constantly. Let our heart desiring your word, the living water, and the bread of life. Let us fill our heart and our lives with your nourishment that comes from you. Your word says every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We thank you. And we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.